Hello, wine enthusiasts. Thanks for joining me for another adventure on the wine road. Strap yourselves in. We're heading over to Rutherford, Napa Valley. If you follow me on Instagram or Twitter, you saw photos of a huge party I attended recently at the Culinary Institute of America at Copia, just outside downtown Napa. About 700 people were in attendance. Culinary fare was being served, several musicians performed, and all for the purpose of celebrating ZD Wine's 50th anniversary. Unfortunately, founder Norman Deleuze passed away in 2007, so he missed the grand event, but his children and grandchildren were there to address the crowd, many of whom traveled from outside the state. When you think of Napa Valley wineries, ZD Wines may not be top of mind, but they've been building something special for quite some time. And they have one of the most unusual wine blends I've heard of, at least in America. I don't know that anyone's doing it here. It's pricey, but because of the length of time it takes to put this blend together, you could argue that it's well worth the price. We'll talk about that blend later. Just a few days before the celebration, I had a chance to sit down with Brandon Deleuze of the third generation so you and I could learn more about ZD Wines. It was founded in 1969, so I surmise that Brandon's been around the winery his whole life.
Well, almost. I actually got hired in terms of being paid for working at 11. So I've been actively working at the winery since that time, but not quite since true birth.
So not only have you been around it your whole life, you've actually been working it almost your whole life.
Yep. Yeah. Was basically offered the opportunity to work here early on and just always loved it. So never really considered doing anything else.
Were you pulling weeds or something at that point?
My first job was applying labels to boxes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so wet glue. I would go home with the taste of glue in my mouth, and that was, the beginning.
Because that was one of my first jobs, was pulling weeds at my grandfather's business. I was reading you always wanted to be a winemaker, and I thought it was funny. I pictured like a third grade class and a teacher asking people, what do you want to be? Baseball player, nurse, winemaker. But I'm not far off, am I?
No, yeah. I mean, for me, the winery was always just a really fun place to come, aside from catching lizards outside in the vineyard, working alongside my dad and my grandpa. I always just enjoyed it. So never wanted to do anything else. Yeah.
That's funny because you hear so often about the second generation or third going off and doing something else, but they often come back to the industry.
Yeah. My sister is a great example. She didn't grow up with like the intense drive that I did, but did grow up working here and kind of found her way back. But for me, yeah, I was quite focused and just loved it. Yeah.
Your father, Robert, is CEO. The senior winemaker is Chris Pisani, who we met just a few minutes ago. And you did become the other winemaker.
Yep. Yeah. So our production team is really quite tight. There's really just four of us. We do all the work from grape through bottling. We don't take interns during harvest. So we've got, all of us are long-term guys, focused.
I saw your vineyard team too is also a familial father and son in that relationship there.
Yeah, exactly. So we started working with them when we started farming what was then the Moon Vineyard. Now is the ZD Carneros Estate Vineyard because we purchased it in the mid-90s and we kind of got Raphael, who was the vineyard manager then, with the vineyard. So he's stayed on and he's been farming that spot for over 30 years.
Yeah, you got to like having that relationship with someone for a long term because they certainly know the vineyard like the back of their hand.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't beat it.
More and more wineries are becoming sustainable and using alternative methods. And I saw that you've been doing it all along here at ZD Wines and Norman, your founder, was supportive of that ideology.
Yep. So many of the things we do here kind of go back to, early things that my grandpa did for one reason or another. The first time we acquired land was 10 years after the winery began. So in the beginning, we were just making wine and purchasing grapes. Then when we got this site in Rutherford, put some grapes in the ground, and hired a viticulturalist to help us actually do the farming, since we had no experience in that. That's when the first issue we had come up with bugs happened to be leafhoppers. The viticulturalist went out and sprayed, like most people would have back then. My grandpa soon after learned The level of toxicity of the material led to us not being able to re-enter the vineyard for a number of days. At that time, he decided that, you know, we'd made a mistake and he wouldn't do it again.
Well, that was a good move for his grandfather to make that decision, which laid the groundwork for generations to come. I'm talking with Brandon Delores of ZD Wines in Napa Valley.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing sustainably here at the winery.
Yeah. So this year, our 50th anniversary is kind of a moment that we've been working toward for a long time in terms of our grape sourcing, where every grape entering the winery will be certified organic. So we work with, you know, 15 plus growers up and down the valley, Monterey, Santa Barbara, Sonoma. Everyone has certified all of our blocks for us. So that's been a mission. The winery is 100% solar powered. We have many electric vehicles being charged off our panels there. Our tractors run on biodiesel. We have a really robust recycling program. All the water that gets used in the winery, and you know, water use is pretty substantial in a winery.
Sure.
It gets recycled through a aerobic biological digesting system, large tanks underground, and recycled back to our vineyard.
Oh, that's great.
You know, and you could say sustainability goes back to, you know, treating the people right that, you know, work with us and for us, and just doing things for more than just business sake, but trying to do the right things.
Yeah, I've read that. And sustainable farming underneath that umbrella is how you treat your employees.
Yeah, so, I mean, kind of testament to that, we have multiple people here that have been with us for, you know, 20 plus years that, you know, really run and drive this company.
Are you completely self-sufficient as far as energy goes?
Yes, here, yeah. And our Carneros property actually overproduces power, so we're selling back to the grid.
Boy,
you know.
Gotta like being in that position.
Yep, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm also amazed that you give back to the community so much, and not just locally, but on a national level, too.
Yeah, we definitely, we do quite a bit of charity work. Sometimes I wonder whether our sales and marketing team should be selling a little more wine, but it's a major focus of the winery.
Yeah.
So we do multiple events per year. You know, right around the corner, our 50th anniversary celebration at Copian downtown Napa, the Boys and Girls Club of Napa, their teen center, will be the beneficiary of our auction that's going on at that time. So they're one of our main main beneficiaries. Other than a, when my grandpa passed away from lymphoma, we set up a foundation with UC Davis Medical System.
So,
we're trying to find a non-toxic cure for lymphoma.
Yeah, that's great. And I saw that you've already raised over $1 million.
Yes. Yeah.
I want my listeners to understand that wineries can be charitable, and so many are philanthropically oriented, so it's nice to be able to pass that along.
And aside from being charitable, Brandon and his family do bottle quite a bit of wine. Now that you know their background, let's hear about the wine they make, including a special one in honor of their 50th anniversary.
Yeah, so, you know, we focus primarily on three varieties, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Cabernet. Chard and Pinot go back to the very beginning. My grandpa founded the winery on Pinot, and we brought on Cabernet in a major way when we moved to Rutherford, for obvious reasons. Our style has been, you know, largely unchanged. And my grandpa, he was kind of figuring things out in those very early days. We were in Carneros, so we were actually the first winery to put Carneros onto a wine label.
Oh.
That was with Pinot Noir. And my dad, when he took over the winemaking position in the early 80s, he kind of took what we'd been learning, which was a lot of experimentation, and kind of solidified our style to now making a Chardonnay that's actually California appellation, combining what we think are the greatest cool climate spots for Chardonnay in California,
oh,
our Carneros Pinot Noir, and the Napa Valley Cabernet.
I like the whimsical Rosa Lee selections you have, named after your grandmother, right?
Mm-hmm.
And amazed to see you're bottling Pinot Meunier.
Yeah, fun program from the winemaking perspective. In the early days, the Rosa Lee program was just Pinot Noir. But then when we started producing our Reserve Pinot Noir, which is now called Founders Reserve Pinot, we didn't want to have three Pinots. So we turned it into Rosalie's Whim, where we would be able to find one white and one red per year, something new and different, and, you know, kind of keep it fresh. So it's becoming more and more challenging as the years go on to find something we haven't done before. But we've been able to do it so far, and it's been quite a few years.
Well, the white was really popular because you sold that out. It was a rosé, huh?
Yep, rosé of Pinot Noir. We got from our friend Buck Bartolucci, who owns Madonna Vineyards. He's also an organic farmer. And that wine was great, and it's gone.
And the sweet, boy, that looks amazing. I love the list of grape varieties you have in that.
Yeah, so that was, I kind of got the green light to start making fortified wine or port-style wine many years ago, and didn't want to kind of accept the Portuguese standards for what should go into a port, so...
And just as well, since you can't call it a port, so yep. Why follow their direction?
Exactly, but accepting that some of their, what they've learned has value, that... Multi-vintage blending is great. Multiple variety blending works. You know, we've had experience with both of those. So I wanted to focus on varieties that grow very well around here. So we did Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Merlot, Petit Syrah, Petit Verdot, and Chardonnay. And produced, you know, fortified wines from all those varieties for many years. And came back to... Surprise, surprise, I could make the best wine by blending multiple varieties and multiple vintages. Yeah. So that's Rosalie's Sweet Whim.
I haven't had that yet, and I'm really looking forward to trying it because that looks like literally a sweet wine, and a sweet as in awesome.
Yeah, it's very special. It took way too much work, for sure. And I think what one thing that really separates it is the largest contributor varietal-wise is Chardonnay. And the wine has great acid, and it's not over the top with RS, so it's not sugar.
Tell us now about the revered Abacus label that you have.
Yes, so Abacus is our pinnacle wine. In one sentence, it is a multi-vintage blend of every reserve Cabernet we've ever produced, going back to 1992. So we call it a Solera style blend. Mm-hmm. So Solera being how they do, you know, some dessert style wines.
Spain, they use that.
Exactly. The reason for doing this is because Cabernet ages so well, right? And it gets these complex characters that we appreciate that only come about with age. But along with that, you lose some of that forward fruit. So... the idea was let's create a wine that has these interesting complexities, but also brings in some of that fruit that you only get from the very young wines. And so that's why we're combining the young and the old, try to make the ultimate Cabernet.
Yeah, you're adding additional layers on top of an already complex wine.
Yeah, exactly. So at this point, every year the Solera grows by one vintage in terms of the years of wine that are combined in that. So we're up to, I think, 26 vintages of wine in that bottle.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, that's incredible. And I don't know that anyone else around here is doing that, are they?
We're amazed that it hasn't caught on.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we keep it under our hats?
Don't release this, yeah.
He's kidding. I'm going to. And now you have something new you're going to release in honor of your 50th celebration.
Yeah, you know, we saw this 50th coming from a ways. And so what better thing to celebrate an anniversary with than bubbles, right? In 2015 was primarily when we brought in the grapes for the sparkling wine. So it's been years in the making. We've never done a sparkling wine before. It was a learning process for sure. A lot of work. Uh-huh. We did everything in-house by hand.
Wow.
So got the old school riddling racks, you know, XYZ. It was quite a process. I got a bunch of old wooden boxes for the tirage aging from my friend over at Chandon because they were phasing out their old, you know, musty boxes. And, you know, we just made it happen one step at a time.
And some employees with the old school carpal tunnel syndrome too from the turning the bottle.
So hand riddling was absolute mission. And
something else that no one else is doing anymore either, I don't think.
No. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, we had a lot of fun with it. I set up some diagrams to make it kind of easy for people. So we got our entire staff to pitch in. So people would just kind of put themselves on the calendar, like I'm doing the PM riddling on Tuesday, and spend a couple hours down in the cellar riddling away, turn on some music. It's pretty fun.
Right. Yeah. That's good that you can have shifts doing that.
Yes.
And then, of course, they're still doing it in the old cellars in Champagne and some of those places. Yeah, it's a lot of work, especially when you have a large number of bottles.
Yes.
What's your production like for this year, this first year?
So we did one Blanc de Blanc that'll be released in just a few days. It's just under 500 cases. And then we'll have about another 500 cases that'll come out a year from now, sort of a reserve version that'll be half Chardonnay and half Pinot Noir.
Well, it sounds like you're always trying to continue to create new things here at the winery, at ZD Wines. And another one is you're renovating. You got a new panoramic view that you're working on. That one's nearly complete, and even more.
Yep. So, yeah, a lot of stuff going on around here right now. And part of it is basically just doing a major upgrade to the places where our guests come. So the cellar is basically staying the same, but we're just making things a little more beautiful.
It's that third generation that always wants to make changes. You know, the second gen keeps it on course, keeps the income coming in, and then third gen comes in and goes, all right, we got to shake some stuff up here.
Yeah. Well, we have such a sweet spot here where we now taste wine, what we call the Vineyard View Room. It used to be our conference room. And so none of our guests were even allowed up there. We would just sit there and have a meeting, you know. And I think my sister was really the person that pushed to share that space, which was, you know, now it seems like a no-brainer because we do have such a great view.
And people love seeing that. And you're up here on a hill a little bit, so looking out over the valley, I bet it's going to be a spectacular view out that way.
It's great. We'll go look at it after this.
Okay. Now, I know that you're busy making wine, but can you tell our listeners about the tasting experiences that you offer here from the top of your head?
Oh, boy. That is not my specialty. We do have a number of tastings. I recommend taking a tour so you can come and see me in the back. But the easy thing is you don't have to have a reservation to come here. We have an open tasting room. We do recommend calling ahead so that we can take the best care of you.
You know, and speaking of sustainability, you also offer an eco tour. Tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, we have our organic Cabernet Vineyard right outside the winery. So it's a great time to go out there, check out our olive trees, our compost pile, our bird boxes, our insectaries, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, go for a stroll, you know, see the wildflowers and taste some wine.
With glass in hand.
Exactly. Always.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you get different glasses while you're out there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, the host will bring, you know, all the necessary beverages. Yeah.
How long does that take? Do you know?
I would give yourself at least an hour minimum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot to learn out there, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you can go as deep as you want. Our host, oftentimes it's Raff Jr. that does it, and he really knows his stuff. And so you can go as deep as you want in terms of, you know, viticultural stuff.
Right. Yeah. And you can talk about compost for hours.
Oh, yes, and we've got a big pile out there, so it's ripe for viewing.
Well, Brandon, it's been a pleasure sitting here in your office and chatting with you with the Silverado Trail right over your shoulder there and some vineyards, and it's a lovely spot to be.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, great to meet you, and see you here again soon.
And congratulations on 50 years.
Thank you very much. Pretty exciting.
In my last podcast, we talked about how September is California Wine Month, as declared by the Wine Institute. And ZD Wines is celebrating 50 years. So I'd say it's a great time to go by and visit ZD Wines this month on Silverado Trail in Rutherford, Napa Valley. And if you can't make it this month, go by anytime. It's worth it. Learn all about them at ZDWines.com. If you're listening to this on iTunes, Stitcher, or another podcast provider, you can find more interviews and interesting content on my website, onthewineroad.com. I'm on Facebook as On the Wine Road, and Instagram and Twitter at JD Wine Road. If you'd like to join my wine community, look for me on Patreon. There I provide compelling tidbits you won't find elsewhere, and I give you tempting incentives as a patron. That's patreon.com/onthewineroad. Patreon is Patreon. Thank you for your continued support and keeping me company on the wine road.